Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin was salatu was salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursalin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wanfa' bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilman wa 'amala. Amma ba'd. Qala Allah fil Qur'an al-Karim ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I wanted to discuss something that, an issue that may not be as pertinent or in our ears or in front of our eyes as it was maybe some weeks ago. I want to discuss our outlook and our appreciation of the situation that affects the Muslims in Gaza and the effect of us as Muslims being divided and the harm that it causes ourselves and the blame that it puts on this Ummah for our division. So I want to discuss a hadith, inshaAllah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he discussed and predicted something would take place in the future. But before I mention this, Alhamdulillah that the hearts of the Muslims over what took place in Gaza, the hearts of the Muslims was one. That our sentiments and our feeling for our Ummah was there and it was united. You saw us undertake many actions to try and alleviate and resolve the problems that the Muslims are facing. So for this we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet, now the situation is out of the media glare. It is not as popular or as fashionable to talk about a subject, especially after this phony ceasefire that we have to discuss as if to say that that has changed the state of affairs. Rather, all that has happened is the humiliating resumption of the status quo has just undertaken. So it may not be popular anymore to mention what I'm going to say. Unfortunately, around us, generally speaking, through our communities and through social networks, we may see that the Muslims, in undertaking work to try and help this situation, are sometimes in disarray, sometimes fragmented. Strange things we see where community figures, imams, scholars even, they're picking diseases and pouring buckets of water over their heads. Stranger things have been seen that we have discussion of boycotting to the extent of paranoia. That of course, as Muslims, a sign of our iman was to, within the mubah, make sacrifices. But what about the sacrifices within the other things that are obligatory on us to be united? So we need to look at this situation and think about one of the greatest things. How can we boycott all the mubahat Some of them may be haram even, but how can we boycott these things and we don't boycott the greatest Israeli product of all? The greatest Israeli product of all, my brothers and sisters, is that these Arabs, meaning the neighboring Muslim regions around Palestine, they will never be united. They will always be divided, and these Muslims will always remain weak. If we believe in that premise, then really we should work for ourselves, because this idea is the greatest idea. This is the most powerful, most important danger for the Muslims that we need to actually boycott. How long would we, as a Muslim ummah, toy with the idea when it is discussed with us, the Islamic solutions, Islam as a way of life, Islam as a state? How many years will we toy with the idea of Khilafah and play with redundant systems of the West? How long will we do this? So I want to draw your attention to something far greater that the Prophet ﷺ discussed about the harms that we will face when we are divided. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ru'ya anhu, he said, يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمُ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ شَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكْلَ إِلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا. He said that the nations would be called to gather around, salivating. Al-akala also means predators, salivating predators. And they will gather around the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yushaku means like sayakunu, it means in the future this will happen. They will gather around like lions around a weak deer, circling and salivating. And they will call to each other, kama tada'a al-akla ila qas'atiha, like the prey pulls to it, the predators pull to their prey. Subhanallah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when these words were uttered from his lips, it is true that when he said, U'atitu jawabi al-kalam, he said that I have been given clear and precise, profound meaning in when I speak. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us such imagery about the situation we face today, that it makes us think about our situation. You see, the fact is, when we're described as qas'atiha, meaning a bowl of food, one of the reasons why this word qas'ah is mentioned, and to describe prey, is the fact that it shows how Muslims, as Muslims, how we look at ourselves. You see, as Muslims, we live, especially in the West, we live in a consumer society. We're used to two things and how these define us. The things we consume and the things we are consumed by. If I am used as a doctor, as a teacher, then often that I am noticed, I am, my identity is based on my job. Or what I'm used for. He's an engineer, he's a lawyer, he's a doctor. And based on the things I consume, they also define me. He's a house owner, he owns this very expensive car. So we end up defining ourselves by the things we consume and the things we are consumed by. Such is the state in a consumerist society. But as Muslims, we are not just a piece of meat. We do not consider that the human being is purely just the sum of its parts. Because if we believe that a human being is just the sum of its parts, a means of production, just a thing that does, makes money, or is used to make money, then there is no attribution for humanity in honor, in the respect. Where is the respect? Where is honor? Where is the value of the blood of a being? Of a human being, if we don't base this on what Allah has revealed to us. So we cannot just judge these things based on the sum of their parts, but the value and the sharaf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on mankind is greater than the sum of his parts. We do not believe like those people believe in utility, that if the maximization of pleasure outweighs the harm, then this is al-khayr. And if the harm outweighs the pleasure, then this is shar. In Islam, the khayr and shar come from khayrihi wa sharri min Allah ta'ala. They come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not emanate from our own minds. Brothers and sisters, look at how we look at the situation of the Muslims and evaluate yourselves. You would not accept £1 million for someone to humiliate your family, to stop them and discriminate on their race and their gender, their nationality and their belief. You would not take £1 million for your child to be slapped in the face. So money on its own, it's not a matter like a consumer to spend or not to spend. What will I withhold my money? Where will I spend my money? We are greater than that. We have more value than that. So we need to look at this, that when we look at the situation of the children that have passed away, that have been killed, that have been slaughtered in Gaza, we should realize that no amount of blankets can give warmth to a dead body. That we need to think about greater things about what we need to do as an ummah, as an ummah, and how we can mobilize and how we can solve problems, rather than looking at ourselves as things to be consumed. So the Prophet ﷺ is putting this emphasis on. Self-realization, brothers, is probably my, and sisters, is my main message today. If you are like, for example, to give you an example, if you understand the situation of yourself, you know, the tazkiyatun nufus and all of these ideas, and you look internally always, then you are like a lion that is fully able but blind. You are unresponsive to the situation that is going on with the Muslim Ummah. And if you are someone who's aware of the politics and the situation that the Muslims are facing, and you are unaware of your own hal, your own situation, you are like a lion with no teeth or claws. You are ineffective. You are harmless. So we need to think about how we look at our role within the Ummah and what we can do. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, one of them, qala qailun, wa min qillati nahnu yawma idhin, they asked, they said, O Prophet of Allah, will we be small in number that day? Subhanallah, before we even look at the answer to that, look at the concern of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Their concern spans beyond the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the life of the Arabs and the Arab peninsula. Their concern spans over decades, over centuries. They are concerned about what the Muslims will do with their inheritance, which is this deen. And yet, when they ask this question, the assumption you can see is that maybe we were small in number, because we may be the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, with iman like iron steel, maybe they could handle the being small number. So maybe we're small number, that's the reason why we're so vulnerable. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ كَثِيرٌ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهَ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمُ الْمَهَابَةِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ اللَّهَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْوَحْنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you will be numerous at that time. You will be many, but you will be like froth and scum, like that's carried down by the torrent of water, and Allah will take the fear of you from the breasts of your enemies, and they will cast wahn into your hearts. Subhanallah, may Allah protect us from such descriptions. May Allah protect us that we face such humiliation on this earth, to face humiliation in Akhirah for such a deed. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to his Sahaba, who are these Sahaba? These are the Sahaba who worked, who surrounded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, answered him in his call of need to work and to give da'wah to establish Islam in Medina. These are the people who are asking about what is the future of the Ummah. It's quite telling that we cannot even think about what is going to happen tomorrow. Our foresight, they're thinking beyond centuries of an Ummah that they know nothing of, save what Allah and His Messenger tells them about in their own lives. But we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. We're too busy in today. And when the news and the cameras switch off, so does the imagery in our mind, and so does our remembrance of what is happening to the Muslim Ummah also. Our focus turns whichever way the cameras turn. So what is, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned this mahaba, you can see that there is no fear of the Muslims. There is no fear of the ruler of the Muslims by these rulers, because the rulers are the people who live fi jaybihim. They live in their pockets, and these are the people who are the ones that not even ask the question of what you're going to do about it. When we talk about qas'ah, when we're talking about that we are like a bowl of food, that we are prey, look at the situation of the Muslim rulers when they meet at the table. They meet with al-akala. They meet with those people who are the predators, who are salivating for the blood of the Muslims. And they meet them, and what do? They offer them piecemeal deals that only assert the status quo and fix and affirm their own thrones. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what will be cast in your heart is al-wahn. What is wahn? They asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, they said, what is al-wahn? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. He said that this is the love of the dunya and hate and dislike of death. If you were to sum up this society and the values and ideas that it's built upon, the systems and all of the way of life that you see around us is built upon these two points. Live life to the max, try and be as young as you can, avoid death. Young Muslims, they don't even want to consider what it's like to be grown up sometimes. Because the next step after being grown up is probably to think about death, to prepare to meet your Rabb. We need to make sure that we spend a lot of time, we think about our death and not be inebriated with ourselves and to be blind about where we are, meet who we're going to meet. We're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. Imam Ali, radiallahu anhu, he said once, annasu niyamun fa'idha matu intabahu. He said, indeed, the people, all of them, they're asleep. And when they die, that is when they're going to become alert and wake up to the real reality, the real al-waqi', the situation that the Muslims are going to face, and especially, of course, the kuffar. So I ask you to really think about that when we look at a situation, we look at it with depth, as Muslims, with many facets to us. Not just, I'm a consumer, I solve problems by changing my shopping patterns. But rather, what we need to think about is that we have a voice. We have a voice that can be powerful, because the most powerful change that can happen is in ideas. Brothers and sisters, the greatest wealth this ummah has is its ideas. It's the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the sharia that comes from this belief. These are the greatest force that we can have. Every physical thing on this earth is moved by ideas. And it's with the ideas is where we are failing, sadly. So I ask you to just think about how from a small number of Sahaba asking about what possibly is now 1.6 billion Muslims, how we are outside the discussions that take place of our own futures. We are not even at the table to discuss our own future as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, we are the meal on the table. We are the qas'a. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and I'll leave you with this advice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says, oh, you believe, if you support in the cause of Allah, if you help Allah, He will support, i.e. He will help you, and He will make your foothold firm. Does Allah need our help? Does Allah need anything from us? So indeed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this, He's saying that if you help His deen, if you help Allah's deen in this life, Allah will preserve and take care of your lives. He will bring back your honor. He will remove you from humiliation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring back what we have lost. But if we do not aid in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, notice when He says, Tansuru, Yansurkum, when this is majzum, don't want to give an Arabic lesson, but this means that there's a jawab al-sharp, meaning this is a conditional statement. Allah says, you help my deen, and I will help your state in this dunya and in al-akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that really our duty is to serve the whole of His deen. Not aspects, not parts that we prefer, but completely. This takes much thinking that is within outside the remit of this khutbah, but the only message I can give really is the main one, which is that we need to have self-realization. We need to think about who we are and not solve problems based on thinking that we are consumers. A Muslim is greater than just what he spends on or what he does not spend on. I ask you to, inshallah, that we still continue to donate generously. I've noticed that after the charity channels have, you know, calmed down as well, the money that we give to Gaza and the situation that all Muslims are facing, it goes down because of the awareness goes down. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are reminded in working for his cause that also that not only do we call for the complete implementation of Islam by the unification of this Ummah, but also within our day-to-day also that we donate generously and that we act principally and that we understand our value as part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه على أبواب المغفور الرحيم إنه على الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا رب العالمين forgive us for our sins يا رب العالمين guide us to the straight path and keep us on the straight path يا الله help the Muslims all across the world يا الله indeed if we have iman in our hearts then our concern is for the Muslim ummah all across the world. Amen. Ya Allah, we cry for the Muslim Ummah. Amen. We cry for their suffering. Amen. And we cry for their state in the dunya. Amen. For indeed, if they knew our state in Al-Akhirah, they would cry for us. Amen. So Ya Allah, forgive us. Amen. Accept the small deeds that we do. Amen. And guide us to the straight path and keep us firm on the firm.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.